Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But ready, to go.
Sahamu on first down is going to take a shot. Right into the hands of Ty Scott. Can you believe this UFL championship game? Knockout punch after knockout punch. 73 yards.
The DC Defenders blew out the Michigan Panthers in the UFL championship game. Was not even close, 58-34. You wouldn't have known DC went in the favorite. The quarterback who won MVP is going to join us in just a moment, Jordan Ta'amu, who threw for 390 and four touchdowns in the game. We're brought to you today and every day by our friends, the law firm Condori and Murad.
We are exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Murad, estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Let's go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. That's where Jordan Ta'amu awaits, starting quarterback of the championship-winning Defenders. He was your MVP on Saturday night. Jordan, first of all, welcome back on the show and congratulations, man. That was an unbelievable performance.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me again.
You got it. You guys saved your best for last. Yeah, you guys, I didn't know you had that club in the bag. As good as you guys were all year, that was by far the best you've looked on offense. What went right?
Yeah, it was just, everything. I mean, just from the week of preparation, leading up to it. And then, Coach Harris kind of, ingraining in our heads, like, hey, this is just another game. Go out there and have fun, but also play within the system, play within, don't do too much, this is just, just play football and do what we know best, and that's DC football. And I felt like all cylinders were clicking on Saturday night.
When's the last time you were in a game with that many points scored?
It's been a long time, probably college, yeah. Definitely college at Ole Miss. It honestly felt like, Ole Miss just kind of, lighting up the scoreboard and letting it loose, and, the defense can't be right whenever things are going our way.
Yeah, you were throwing against air at times. I mean, you had time to throw, yeah. And you were just dropping back, and guys were running free and open, and for all of that to come together in the championship game is a pretty sweet deal. What was the atmosphere like? I know it was in St. Louis, neutral site there. And then what was the celebration afterwards like for you guys after a long season here to win your first title?
Yeah, I mean, just to be back in St. Louis meant a lot to me. That was, St. Louis, the Battlehawks was my first professional career. That's when it started. And to have it come full circle and be back in St. Louis for my, UFL championship game meant a lot. And, the city of St. Louis, showed out, for me out there, and the DC fans flew in also, but, so I kind of had like my fans everywhere. So from everywhere, it was nice to see everybody in the dome. And, I'm so familiar with the dome and love playing in that arena. And, so just having that, my family flying in from Hawaii and then just celebrating the win after, it just felt amazing. Once the clock hit zero, then I could celebrate. You know, I did not want to celebrate too early, and you know, once that hit zero, like, we were all excited, we're happy, went straight to my family, and you know, holding up that trophy was just a, you know, dream come true and a surreal feeling, and it felt so good.
Yeah, I saw that your parents were there and made the trip, as you mentioned, from Hawaii. They were in St. Louis for the championship game for the conference title the week before, and yep. Then you guys were back there. So I guess they just stayed, which is pretty nice. How often do they make the trip and get to see you in person, or how rare was that?
It was super rare, just because, you know, I have siblings as well, so they're kind of, you know, still at home, about to be at empty nesters. My sister's still in high school, so I'm traveling with her for volleyball, but you know, just having them, they told me before the season, they're like, hey, if you can make it to the playoffs, then we'll make it out to that game. Because that's the only game that, you know, is free, that they're free for their schedule. So I said, okay, sweet. I guess I'll see you guys in the playoffs. So whenever, you know, I make it to the playoffs or championships, like, that's the only time they get to see me. Unless, you know, Christmas and New Year's, of course, like, my mom wants all the kids home. But other than that, that's the only time they get to see me play is, you know, in the postseason.
Jordan, what are the conversations like with you and your teammates when you guys are down 13-6? Are you going, don't worry, guys, we're going to rip off 31 points here in the second quarter? Like, like, what are you guys talking about in that moment?
No, we knew, like, it was going to be a shootout. You know, they have a great, you know, offense, great quarterback, and, you know, he deserves all the awards that came his way. But we knew it was going to come down to the offense, who was going to be the better offense. And, you know, as a quarterback, you know, you gotta have that resilience. You just gotta, you know, one blink and go. And you can't let, you know, a touchdown or two phase you. So our offense was very confident from the jump. And, you know, that's what helped us to continue to score and put points up there. We knew no one can stop us.
Jordan Tamu, quarterback, DC Defenders on Grant and Danny. They won the championship of the UFL on national TV on Saturday night. And Jordan threw for 390 and four touchdowns as the MVP of the game, joining us here on The Fan. This league is so much about the individual and about you guys getting back to the NFL or getting your shots in the league. To win a championship as a team is a special thing, but make that make sense for us. How does that compare, the team success element of this, when so many of you guys are basically there to try to continue your own careers?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a huge thing for us to, you know, we always preached, and Coach Shannon always said, big team over little I. And, you know, when team has success, then individual success will come. And, you know, everybody on our team is not selfish. Everybody wanted to win. Everybody, you know, wanted, of course, tape and stuff, but, you know, that all came with winning. And everyone understood that, and everyone bought in from day one that if we want to be a great team, we got to put, you know, each other first instead of ourselves, and, you know, play as a unit, play as a team, and, you know, just don't cost the team any penalties that, you know, could make us lose. But that was, like, kind of the main thing going into it, was just to play as a team and play for the guy next to you.
What about, though, when you guys go up 52-19? Is there somebody that maybe in the huddle going, you know, could use a touchdown as me? You know what I mean? Like, at that point, it's like, okay, give me a little bit of tape here.
Yeah, at that point, everyone was just having fun and laughing and stuff. And, yeah, everyone's like, all right, I need to touch the ball now. But, you know, that's my job, is to spread the ball around and show love and give it to the playmakers. And
Jordan, it was pretty clear whether it was a factor for you or not, I don't know. You'd have to tell us. But your teammates took very personally that you didn't win the MVP of the league, and possibly even that you weren't named, you know, the offensive player of the year of the league, because they were chanting about it and screaming about it literally on microphone all game long. How much of a rallying cry was that for you guys? When did you find out you weren't the MVP? And just, do you think that was a factor in the performance?
Yeah, I mean, actually, I was, you know, on my way to lunch with my parents the day before. So it was like, you know, mid-afternoon, 3 o'clock-ish the day before.
Friday.
And I just looked on my phone, like, the day before the game, and I just looked on my phone, and I saw that, and my heart, like, literally sunk. And thank God I was with my parents, you know, because they were like, Jordan, like, you know, they're big believers in their faith, and you know, they told me, hey, this is God's plan. You just got to go out there tomorrow and show them, you know, why you deserve, you know, to win the MVP. And, you know, the championship trophy is bigger than this. And, you know, it came to my senses, and, you know, it was. And, you know, I got messages from my teammates. You know, Bradley Moore was the first guy to text me saying, hey, brother, I got your back tomorrow. Like, no matter what, you're going to hold up that MVP trophy. So had a lot of guys just like that, you know, send me texts and stuff and, you know, motivated us even more to go out there and win.
Who of your teammates or coaches or anybody you want to name are you happiest for that you guys got the championship?
Happy for Coach Shannon Harris, for him to jump into the situation he's jumped into from a quarterback coach to a head coach. And then keeping the team together with all the adversity we faced throughout the year. And then on top of that, being the coach he is, a strong believer of his faith and, you know, installing that into all of us. And just such an amazing guy that deserved it all. And he deserves that interim tag to be taken off.
Yeah, it was a pretty good chant they had, Danny. Anytime he would address the team or talk or was up on stage, they would chant, mm-hmm. take off the tag. Take off the tag. Good. Which is pretty funny. I like that. Jordan Tamu, quarterback, DC Defenders. Last one for me on the team here.
Yeah.
Who would you say is I know it's really hard. It's like asking a parent about kids. But give us a couple names of guys after playing with them this year that you go, that's a guy that should get a shot. And that if he does, you guys could see him having success on Sundays.
I'll say Chris Rowland.
Who was the all-purpose yardage leader in the UFL this year and your guy's number one wide receiver. He's just, for a small guy, he's so physical, man.
He's amazing. I mean, we call him Spark Plug, just the way he just, you know, kind of sparks out, you know, out of nowhere and just bursts out. And such a fast guy and smart guy and a leader on our offense. And then, you know, I love all our receivers. You know, Cornell Powell is a big, strong receiver. And then, you know, I like Mike Maietti, our center. He's such a smart dude, knows exactly what to do. You know, he's played with me through every snap. And, you know, he controls the offensive line room. I like Yasir, you know, Durant, you know, our left tackle. You know, the O-line and him kept me protected all year. And, you know, we said it from the beginning that if they protect me, then I will have a outstanding year. And, you know, Vaughn Hutchinson said that. So just having that protection and then Bradley Moore, of course, just having him all phases of the offense from, you know, catching to blocking and then also, you know, yards after the catch.
What's next for you in terms of celebrating, kicking your feet up, vacation, you know, going home for a little bit? Like, what are you up to?
Yeah, I'm in Dallas right now about to, you know, kind of slowly packing things up and then, you know, going to drive back to Nashville. And then, you know, my plan was to, you know, go to Cancun for a weekend. So that's going to be my plan, yeah.
Well, enjoy it. Well earned. Congrats on the MVP award of the UFL championship game and the title for the DC Defenders.
Thank you so much.
You got it. There's Jordan Tamu with us on Grant and Danny, former Ole Miss star, who's done everything he can do now in spring football at this point.
Yeah, seriously, what's next?
He's won the MVP. Right? He's led the league in passing.
Should have won it again.
Won the championship. And, yeah, it probably should be a multi-time MVP. He's kicked around in some practice squads. You know, Washington had him here because Eric Bieniemy had him in Kansas City and then brought him in for some work with the then Redskins when Bieniemy was here. With Rivera, maybe it was the football team at that time. But there's a lot of these guys that need the shot, and you don't know what it would look like. But he's just ultra-athletic. He does a nice job protecting himself, but he makes plays with his feet. But it was the touchdown field, I thought, that was pretty special, throwing for almost 400 yards and four touchdowns.
I mean, seriously, how about this day? 21 out of 28, 390 yards, four touchdowns, 75% completion percentage, 156 rating. With a couple, I think 28 rushing yards and a touchdown on the ground as well.
Yeah,
2-point conversion caught. I mean, have a day.
Fifth touchdown.
Yeah, have a day.
So the thing about the game was, it almost felt like, I'm trying to think of a good comp. But remember when like Steve Spurrier opened up in Osaka?
Yeah.
And it was just like they were just so much better than the other team. That's what the championship game for them was. But I can't stress this enough. The other team was better all year than them. Like it was the best team and they just had no answers.
It's like a Big 12 game.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
So good for the Defenders. I know their fan base is very fired up. The people that get out to Audi Field, there was a big watch party in town for them to get together. They're actually, it seemed like a lot of people traveled because the people that are in are really in. Like they're dressing up, they're doing
sword and
outfits.
Shield bits. Yeah.
Exactly. Like shields up.
So cosplaying.
Congratulations to the DC Defenders fans who were tracking the team over the weekend. We talked at the start of the show about the Washington Nationals. And about the fact that they got this 4-game series starting against the Colorado Rockies and just how much trouble this coaching staff might be in. Davey Martinez, the manager, on a warming seat. His comments were a big reason for, I think, fan frustration that he made over the weekend on Saturday. Do I need to say essentially throwing his team under the bus? That wasn't what he meant to do.
Right. It wasn't on purpose, but it's exactly what happened to me.
He was asked about his coaching staff. He was defending them and going full mama bear. And a guy who always defends players and over the years has defended some bad players and players who played badly over and over and over again, maybe more than anybody, did the opposite of that. This was Davey Martinez on Saturday at the podium.
It's never on coaching. Never on coaching. Okay, coaches work their asses off every single day. You know, we're not going to finger point here and say it's coaches. It's never on the coaches. Okay, they work hard. The message is clear. All the work is done prior. Sometimes they got to go out there and they got to play the game. You know, it's always been about the players. Always. You know, I played this game a long time. Never once have I blamed the coach for anything. I mean, we worked our asses off to get better. They gave us information and we used it. These guys understand what the game is, man. These coaches, I never had such a group of coaches that worked as hard as they do. I mean, they're here freaking diligently. They go over everything. They sit players every day. These coaches, they work their asses off. So, and I know every coach's staff is like that. So, sometimes, and the players know. Sometimes, you got to put the onus on the players. They got to go out there and they got to play the game and play the game the right way. We can't hit for them. We can't catch the balls for them. We can't pitch for them. We can't throw strikes for them. They got to do
that. That's the under the bus part right there.
I mean, that's essentially, it sounds like Chris Russell talking about Jim Haslett with regard to is he a good defensive coordinator or not. You know what I mean? Like it's that extreme side of an argument where you're basically saying out loud, coaching doesn't matter. It's a big flag that says we can crash the waves against the shore as many times as you want. Not with this group of chuckleheads. Not with this group of losers that can't play.
I want to drill down on his point though of like how hard the coaches work, because I understand if his point is big league coaching is not about helping Robert Hassel draw a walk. How do I want to say that? That's not the right way to say it. A big league coach is not making you better at the big league level every single day, right? A big league coach is saying, hey, Robert, you're dropping your elbow. Hey, let's watch this tape. Here's what you're doing. Hey, when you get ahead in the count, why don't we think about this pitcher and what he's doing? You're pointing things out. So I kind of get when he says, if you're working a lot of hours and you're working really hard, that is the gig. It's being available to the players so that when they come into the room, you're already sitting there ready to go and you've got some pointers. You can watch the tape. It's the amount of time you're putting in and the effort that you're exerting, because it's not like football necessarily where a coordinator can out-scheme the other coordinator. Like, that's not a baseball thing.
Right.
I actually get what he was trying to say, I think, in that regard. The problem is when you say it's never coaching. Just using the word never in general, you probably shouldn't do. But when you say, oh, it's never about the coaches. Ever?
But then you expound and say, we can't catch the ball for them. We can't hit the
right.
That, to me, again, is above. If the point is...
That was the worst thing he said to
you
me.
Can't
was like,
if the point is you can't question my coaching staff's effort, I don't think anybody did.
Correct.
But B, if you're trying to make the point, as you said, trying to protect the guys, these guys are grinding. These guys are doing everything they possibly can to get the most out of the players. And this is a hard game. Sometimes it doesn't go well. You could express that without then full stop or period. Yeah, the coaches do a great job. We can't go out there and do it for them. I can't hit the 2-0 fastball or get a pitch in the zone.
And this is my point.
That, to me, is the, oh, no, foot and mouth. And he had to go again. He had to go back to the team and explain it away, something that, again, he was trying to defend the coaches and inadvertently. I don't think he stood up there and meant to go, now it's about time to back the bus up over my players. That's not his personality. That's not who he is. I think he put his foot in his mouth, and he would probably tell you as much if you gave him truth serum. But that, to me, was not okay. Like, that is not how you go about that. I understand what you're trying to do, but you messed up there.
The other question is, that's great that they're working hard. How good is the staff? I mean, most of these guys are qualified in the sense that this is not their first time doing it.
Yeah, these are baseball people.
Jim Hickey's been a pitching coach forever. He was David Price's pitching coach back in the early 2000s with the Tampa Bay Rays when he came up as the number one overall pick. That was a really good pitching staff. I remember with Jeremy Hellickson as a rookie of the year arm, and Price and at that time, what did they have? Like Jeff Niemann and you know, some really like legitimate good starting pitching. He was with the Cubs. He's moved around with Joe Maddon and Davey Martinez. Darnell Coles has been a hitting coach in other places. Miguel Cairo was an interim manager really briefly in 22 at the White Sox. But like when you look into it, how many guys, if they were available, would have the same job they have in other places? That's what I always wonder with a coaching staff. I think that's a fair ask. But if you're Davey, I got no problem with you going full mama bear and protecting your coaches because you know that people want a head. They want a head on a platter. They want somebody fired. But there's got to be a way to do that without saying something that your players are going to be upset by. And I think that's probably what happened.
Right.
Maybe the bigger question is, does the comment really matter a few days later? Or was it just a dumb thing to say and it's over? Do you think it costs him anything in the clubhouse? Do you think there is frustration and anger and some upset from the players? Or, like, to me, everyone focuses on that because you see it. It's very public. It's an embarrassing, silly thing to say. But I go, okay, that was ridiculous. That's kind of the end of it for me. And I get back to, are you going to make the right decision in the game? Are we going to get another guy thrown out at third base because Gutierrez sends somebody when he shouldn't? Like, those are the types of things, if we're talking coaching, that I care way more about. How many players are you making better? Are you maximizing? Like, those, where's the development happening? The comments, you could beat someone up on the radio for 15 minutes because they said something stupid. I'm not hiring or firing people based on what they said at the press conference.
No, I'm not doing it just because of that. But to me, we now have a couple things now within a few weeks. We're going to have to make some changes. We may have to start platooning some guys. We may have to do things differently.
But didn't that show, though, that he was like, for people that don't remember, because everyone doesn't follow everything, what you're referencing was less than 2 weeks ago, maybe a week and a half ago. It was very veiled. It was an odd comment.
Yeah.
But he basically is like, if these guys start, I'm paraphrasing, if these guys don't start getting the messaging here, we're going to make changes. We're going to start platooning guys. We're going to maybe have some players benched. You know, we're going to make these shifts. And no one knew who he was talking about. I don't even like the veiled thing because then everyone goes, he's talking about this guy?
Is it him or him?
James Woods 2-for-20. Or he's mad at him? Like, it's silly to do it that way.
Right. And here's what happens. 2 weeks later, frustration boils over about the players. So here's what I'm hearing. Coaches are coaching. These guys ain't getting the message. So that's why, to me, it's bigger than just one foot in one mouth one time.
Is he upset with the roster to the point where he sees that people are saying you should be fired or your coaches shouldn't be there, and he understands I'm managing a 77-win team and you guys don't get that, and this is his way to bark back?
Maybe. I don't know that he thinks of things that way. I think he's tired of trying to tell K-Bear Ruiz, please get your A-hack off. Please take a good swing with runners in scoring position once before he rolls over weakly to the first baseman on a first pitch breaking ball out of the zone.
But
I think he's tired of beating his head against the wall.
If K-Bear doesn't eventually do the thing or get the message, that is a coaching problem too.
That's my point.
There's a reason why staffs are not together for long periods of time generally. And I'm not suggesting this one has been here the whole time because he's had multiple groups. Like, most of the assistants from that staff that won the World Series are actually gone.
Yeah,
he's kind of rebuilt the staff in an image with a lot of his buddies and people he knows from the past. And maybe that could be a conversation. But, I mean, if you're talking about just, like, managerially, how many guys are longer tenured than Davey? He's been around since 2018.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about year eight with a club in the big leagues, and they had, even the 2019 season, that was a 19-31 start.
Yeah.
But if you take the 93-win season out of it, he has 1 year where there were two games over 500. Everything else are losing seasons.
Yeah.
Now,
not all his fault that they're losing.
He's been handed a losing roster for the last five of these seasons. So you can make the case that 18 and 20 were the only 2 years where they really underachieved. So maybe he was, you know, those are the two bad years and the rest aren't on him. But again, we talk results all the time. It's, you know, 45% of the time they've won with him as manager. And only the Rockies have lost more games over the last five seasons now, who are in town tonight. We'll get your thoughts. 800-636-1067. How hot should the seat be as the Nats get ready to play the worst team in baseball and the worst team through 71 games since the 1800s in the 2025 Rockies? This is The Fan.
Thank you.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny, if the Nats win 3 out of 4 against the Rockies in a series that starts tonight, do they move forward and not make any changes with the coaching staff?
That's what I bet.
I agree.
That's what I bet, yeah.
If they split 4 and the 2 losses are pretty ugly, do you think they make a change? I would say no to that.
I still don't think they do.
What if they lose 3 out of 4? You got swept by the Marlins. You go 1-3 against the Rockies. You lose 6 of 7 on this homestand.
Then you'll be 3-what? 3-16.
How do you
month?
Not make a change? I don't necessarily think it has to be Davey, although it's very much reasonable and possible that it would be. But how would you not do something with the staff if you lose 3 out of 4 to the worst team in the history of the sport since 1900 through 71 games?
Yeah, you would think. I mean, if they, let for the sake of argument, had they taken 2 or 3 from the Marlins and then stumbled against the Rockies. I mean, the Rockies have, you know, played better baseball lately. It's not as if they're good. They're still atrociously bad, as you pointed out, but it's not, they're not losing 10-0 every game now. So then it'd be kind of hidden. But the fact is, you just got swept by a team that hasn't swept anybody all season long. You're in this mucky mire, nothing's going right. You already have 2 sets of comments that are shots across the bow towards your players, whether you meant them to be or not, they are. It's now signs of cracking. There are fissures now. I mean, it's not quite Jason Worth tearing the lineup off the wall for Matt Williams, but there are signs that everything ain't hunky-dory. It's not just we're going about our business for 162.
I don't have the same animus that a lot of people do calling for Davey's head right now. I am willing to absolutely go on record and say that a stretch like this for a team in the fifth year of a build that said at the beginning of the year it was ready to win is when a manager gets fired. It's when they make changes. And if it happened, I don't think anybody could say, well, what the heck? That was unfair. Anything like that. But my point on Davey is, and it's the same as Rizzo, it's just really hard for me to get overly angry or upset when there's such a bigger issue at play that is handcuffing them. What is your goal? If your goal is, like, if you're angry and want someone's head because they're not going to make the playoffs, well, guess what? They were never going to make the playoffs because they don't spend any money on players. So the young players are actually doing pretty well, and you need reinforcements, and they don't have that. But if your goal is 500, okay, I think that's a lot more reasonable. Still, I would say a lot of things would have had to go well for them to get to 500. But that's now we can have a conversation. I kind of thought 73 wins is a floor, 78, 79 wins is a ceiling. And they're probably, if not for the last week, if they had gone 2-5, in their last 7 instead of 0-7, you know, they're probably on like a 74-win pace. We'll see where they're at in 2 weeks, but that's still very possible. I don't know. I just keep coming back to they got to blame themselves to some extent. When I talk to Nats fans, they basically were under the impression that they were going to be better this year, that they were ready to turn the corner, and the team built that expectation.
Yeah.
If you followed their actions, you didn't think that. But if you followed their words, you do. Let's go to Will in Stafford. What's up, Will?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. A couple thoughts on this. Like, I think whether they go 0-4 or they take all four against the Rockies, I think Davey's on the way out. I think both sides are kind of just tired of each other. And like Danny and, you know, you said, Grant, I think this is just part of the cracks on the surface of a deeper issue. If I'm James Wood, why would I take any hitting advice from Darnell Coles, a career 245 hitter? I'm sorry, that's like taking, you know, that's like having Manny Alexander as your hitting coach if you're with the Orioles. I'm sure Darnell Coles is a good dude, but I mean, you've got young talent here, and you've got to utilize the time you have with them because it's probably going to be short for a lot of these guys before they get a big deal somewhere else. You gotta get these guys going, and you know, a lot ownership doesn't pay much. You probably don't attract very good coaching candidates when you don't pay coaches very well. Go after Ryan Flaherty with the Cubs if he doesn't take the Orioles job. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you. I understand the zing, by the way, but like a guy that hit 370 in the bigs doesn't necessarily make him a great hitting coach. I mean, some of the best hitting coaches were grinders that never really succeeded to that high of a level. So, but I understand Will's point.
Kevin Long couldn't get to the major leagues.
Yeah.
Does he not get to be a hitting coach? I mean, there's really good coaches, by the way, that didn't even play in the big leagues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that just know the game, that study it, the newfangled thing. And you don't see this a lot in the actual dugout, but front offices are run, GMs, by people that didn't play at a high level. They're just smart and study the game. So I'll never hold someone's batting average against them because bad players can be great coaches. Non-players can be great coaches. And some of the best players can make really bad coaches sometimes. But it's funny.
It's a funny thing.
He mentioned Manny Alexander, which gets a smile out of me. Rick in Germantown, what's up?
Gentlemen, happy belated Father's Day.
I was
at the game yesterday, and I don't agree with the fact of Davey throwing his players under the bus, but an incident did happen that the ball got past the first baseman, and the guy in right field, and I'm going to call his name is Carl, did not run fast enough to get that ball and throw it to second base, and that fat-ass runner from the Marlins made it to second base. That should not happen.
Well, I'd have to look at the exact play. I don't remember the specifics of that. But if there's a lack of hustle, when's the last time they benched a guy? You know, and Alex Cole is not that kind of guy because he's one of these dudes that's always trying to survive in the big league. So I'll take his word for it, but I'd have to go back and look. But just generally, someone who didn't have a hard 90, someone who didn't run something out, somebody who did something silly and got picked off or backpicked. When is the last time you remember them sitting a guy? They really don't do it.
And, not very often.
Yeah, I remember there was a game last year where like C.J. Abrams got picked a couple of times. He got backpicked and just wasn't paying attention. I remember going, I love C.J. That's my dude. I hope he makes the All-Star game for the second year in a row. Do something about this.
Mm-hmm.
You see it all the time. Ronald Acuna got benched by Brian Snitker as an MVP player one year for the Atlanta Braves. There are times where you could send a message. And I'm not saying sitting Jose Tena, you know, or some bench bat. Like, Alex Cole might not even be the right guy. But that's a fair critique. Maybe not the specific example. I'd have to dig into that. But this idea of there are certainly times over 162 where you're not getting 110%.
Yeah, your effort slips, your focus slips, whatever. And it shakes you back to reality. That is a normal thing.
I want to bring in our guys in studio here because we do have Nats fans abound to get a fan opinion. Am I on to something, Claire? We've talked about this a lot. I think I'm onto something. When you talk about like the people on Nats Twitter who are up in arms that you always see, like their anger is mostly based on being told one thing and another thing happening. They thought this team would be better than it is.
Yeah, I think the messaging from this past offseason and spring training, it was just different because Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez, like without anyone asking, they were saying, we're ready to win. We're ready to turn this corner. And I think a lot of people bought into that. Like, I mean, it does make sense. They do have a lot of young talent, and ultimately, that just has not been the case. And so, yeah, on top of Dave Martinez and what he said this past weekend, people are mad.
So you're going full Frank the Tank, and like every day they don't score 10 runs is like the worst day of your life.
Yeah.
But what was your expectation for them coming into the season? Like how many wins did you think they would have?
I thought they'd win 79 games. But even then, like I could see a way where they win 85
ceiling
games.
Higher. Yeah. But I guess my point is, before this last week, they were on pace for like 77 wins.
Mm-hmm.
Two away over 6 months.
Yeah.
And your anger, to me, like the two win difference, it's just based on what, like what you're seeing or
yeah, it's
how
just,
they play.
Yeah, it's
because they were basically exactly what you predicted, but yet every night you're mad.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm mad because again, like you look at these like individual performances where things have to go our way. Like Kiber Ruiz has to be better. Kiber Ruiz has regressed every single year.
That ship might have sailed.
That ship is gone. Luis Garcia Jr. felt like he turned a corner last year. So far this year, he has completely fumbled the bag in every aspect of it. He has regressed defensively and offensively. You look at guys like James Wood. He's looking great. CJ, he's been in a little bit of a funk, but even then, he's an all-star shortstop. James Wood is incredible. Mackenzie Gore, like you had these individual pieces, but there are also some guys that need to take a step up, and they just simply have not done that at this point.
Sure.
I think that's frustrating. I think that goes into why the Nationals simply just have not taken that step that a lot of us thought they would take.
So, Ben, you came in here. You're a big Nats fan. You were frothing at the mouth. I think you texted me, or maybe you just I bumped into you at the station the other day, and you're like, I'm out. I'm done. Like, What was your breaking point? Again, similar, I'd ask you, what did you think they would be this year in win total?
I thought they were going to be competitive the way they were. I thought they'd be within a couple games of a wild card spot when the season came in. So I had around 78 to 81 wins, like flirting with 500, which they were for a good part of this year. My problem with it right now is, I said this last week, I'll say it again, how can I take a team seriously that can't do the little things right? They don't do any of the little things right, and it costs them games all the time. They can't run the bases, constantly run into outs. They make errors in the field. They play the worst defense. They have the worst defensive catcher in all of baseball. And their plate discipline, it sucks right now. It's terrible. They have guys that are up there swinging at garbage every single at bat. They let pitchers who, you know, aren't even top guys on the opposing team's staff go 8 innings only throwing 80 pitches. It's ridiculous.
They're too easy to pitch to, for sure.
Yeah.
But I guess, so my point is, before this week, you were feeling okay then? Because they were basically on pace for your win total.
Well, I've always been a little bit reluctant to saying that they should make changes to the coaching staff. I've been thinking about it for a while. I just have always been under the impression that maybe Davey and the staff isn't right for a young group of players. Because if you think back to the 2019 World Series team, they were the oldest team on average in baseball. They had a couple of young stars. Obviously, you have Juan Soto, who's well beyond his years as a baseball player then. I just haven't been convinced that the current staff in place would be the guys that would be able to develop some of these players. And we've seen a lot of these young guys that have come up have really struggled. And that concerns me, that the longer they stay around, are they going to, you know, kill the confidence of certain players in this organization? I think it speaks volumes that how good James Wood has been, that he is maybe almost overachieved compared to all of his young counterparts based on, you know, maybe struggling here with this staff in place.
You think about, for so many years when they're not drafting and developing worth a damn, and then Juan Soto, like a phoenix, emerges and takes the league by storm as a 19-year-old. And you go, think about what he overcame, you know?
And that's what I'm feeling with Wood.
Yeah, well, Wood's the real deal. I mean, he's a superstar, there's no doubt. I don't know. They don't develop or haven't, you know, coached the young guys up well, like, except for is the problem, right? So, like, Jake Irvin is a better big leaguer than he was supposed to be. So they get credit for him or they don't. You know, same thing. Mitchell Parker's regressed substantially. But 3 years ago, if you would have asked me, is Mitchell Parker going to be a multi-year starter in the rotation who eats a bunch of innings for them? Absolutely not. So, I mean, they've done a better job pitching than hitting, clearly. But they do have more wins than they used to. I do think the larger point is correct. This is a different staff almost entirely under Davey in terms of the field staff than the one that won the World Series. And am I going to go to bat for many of these guys other than Doolittle, who I hear rave reviews on? No. I'm not going to the mattress for them necessarily. Like, there's not enough pelts on the wall here. But I guess the disconnect for me, and I don't think anyone should not be upset. I totally get frustration, anger, people that are really salty right now. You're well within your rights. This is when people get fired. This is a terrible month and a terrible stretch. I just come back to my big picture view. The reason I asked the question to those guys, I expected the team to be a low to mid-70s win team. That's what they're going to end up being. Right now, at this snapshot, it's rock bottom, and they're on pace for maybe 70 wins or whatever it is. I haven't looked. But 10 days ago, they're on pace for 79 wins or something like that. They're kind of where they were supposed to be. Now, the painful process is taking place, and how they're doing it stinks. Like Strober was just saying, he made really good observations. But if they were on pace to win 63 games, and or if they were a good roster, Brandon Hyde got fired. If the Orioles played like this for an extended stretch, which is what happened, Yeah, people should be blown out. I gave you a 90-win team, and you're managing.
And you're turning into a 70-win team.
I think I gave you a 75-win team that right now is looks
playing
like
a 70-win team.
Exactly. But the way that it's happening is unsettling and maddening. 800-636-1067, you want to hop in. Mark Zuckerman, Masson Sports, joining us coming up at the top of the hour for the leadoff. Also got to get to some of the players on the Commanders that have the most approved next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
He's Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Mark Zuckerman, MassinSports.com, set to join us right at the top of the hour. Get you ready for baseball tonight. The Rockies in town. I've got what I call these phone-a-friend games. The way I think about it is the old Who Wants to Be a Millionaire show.
Uh-huh.
We used to get these lifelines, right? You could phone a friend to get an 50, answer.
50-50, exactly. The life, yeah.
In a hypothetical where every baseball season, you're given three auto wins to use whenever you want to at a 162. Just, hey, it's really bad right now. I got to get a win. I think Davey, if he hadn't used any yet, might use all three of them right now in the next three games against the Rockies.
Just to get it going.
This is your phone a win time, because there is no doubt that if you sit down, you're going, ooh, ah, 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 your butt is burning a little bit.
Little Peter Griffin style. Yeah, I might wait till the Dodgers series to use those three against a great team, but I see your point.
Shane's in D.C. What's up, Shane?
Hey, Shane.
Commander Danny Gray. How y'all doing today, fellas?
Hey, buddy.
Chilling.
Hey, happy delayed Father's Day to you, gentlemen. Hey, look, here's the thing. Is it part of his fault? Yes. But he's got the worst owners in baseball. Look, we're a farm league for the MLB right now. Look at the players he's had that's left, too. So let's get it wrong. I think that it's going to be gone. I think it's going to be gone at the end of the year. I don't think it's going to be a mid-season thing, but he does need to go. But once again, is he all the blame? I mean, we have the learners here of the Cincinnati Bengals. They don't want to spend no money on anything. And by the way, there's a coach out there. I know you guys are going to say it, but Coach B at the University of Tennessee, he can do young players. Like that's the thing. The last caller hit it. Maybe he just can't connect with these young players. And that's what we need. We need a young coach in
Tony
here.
Vitello. I don't think he's coming to the big leagues or to the Nats.
He's got a pretty good gig now.
The Nats might actually, who knows, they could draft his top pitcher this year, Liam Doyle, number one overall, if they want to. He's one of the best pitchers in America with the best fastball in the draft.
Shane, appreciate you as always, dude. Yeah, this is the thing. This is unusual for any major league manager to be anywhere this long, especially with this many losing seasons. Now, I know the World Series happened. I was there. I had fun, too. But a lot of times voices get stale. A lot of times staffs end up, you know, you're just sort of shouting into air or your message isn't getting through. It happens in pro sports all the time. There's a reason that coaches change. It's not a lifetime security profession. Again, I made the analogy earlier. You want job security? Go be a tenured professor, right? I mean, it's not this. This is not what this is. So you'd expect some changes at some point to let everyone know that this status quo is not okay. And the thing I think people are conflating is, yes, there is a massive ownership issue here. We're all aware of it, right? With the amount not spent on players or the frugality or the idea maybe they're treating money going out of the checking account to Steven Strasburg and deferments to Max Scherzer as payroll because they're spending the money. So whatever, we're not spending on anybody else. Yes, there's a huge issue there. Yes, there's been a long time issue with spending. It doesn't absolve anybody else, though, of fault. And we talked about that surrounding the Ken Rosenthal piece with drafting and development. Better lately, but you got a 7-8-year gap where it wasn't particularly good. In fact, it was even bad, you could say that. And now with the current Major League club. And over the last couple of weeks, the comments from Davey Martinez that, to me, are little windows where you can't see the whole house. But there's a peek in the blinds, and you get to look in, and you go, there is a lot of frustration with the players right now. From the coaching staff, and Davey specifically, with his players. And he let that out for a second, capped it, put it back on, apologized to everybody, and we're going about our business. But that, to me, was very telling. The two sets of comments over the last couple of weeks tells you he's fed up with those guys.
Well, Davey's also, to some extent, living off the World Series. And I get that you get way more leash when you win a title, as you should, by the way.
Sure, yeah.
But remember, it was basically half of a season, too. I mean, it was a few-month magical carpet ride, and that's lasted a long time here. But I keep going back to this. Darnell Coles got here in 2022. You know, Jim Hickey got here in 2021. They don't get the same World Series right. Cologne. They don't get the same leash because you won me a championship. Now, I am not a guy that thinks that the coach in the big leagues is going to be the problem. I think if you give Jim Hickey a healthy Dodgers staff, he probably
does
pretty well. If you give Darnell Coles, you know, a bunch of Aaron Judges, my guess is people don't hate him as much, right? A lot of this is about the players, as Davey pointed out. But I'm just saying, Coles, 22. Hickey, 21. Miguel Cairo got here in 24. It's his second season as a bench coach. Ricky Gutierrez, who doesn't really have a long resume of a ton of success as a base coach, you know, it's his second year with the ball club. So that's kind of my point is, I think people think about the staff like, yeah, but they won a World Series. No, they didn't.
Mauro Parra did as a bench guy, but now he's on the staff.
None of those guys are here.
Right?
None of the coaches other than Davey, basically, that won that title are still here at this point. Grant and Danny on the Fan, we'll get you the leadoff, and Mark Zuckerman next will hit the headlines on G&D.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.